should be a permanent cable in here, but
there isn't one in the COP 26 either.
Generally, the Wi-Fi in here is really good. So
it's the speed that sometimes the cable gives you that wireless doesn't.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Trust me, I know.
Yes. So do we. Yes, of course you know better than anyone.
Try webcast with Wi-Fi.
That's not something.
That's a microphone.
It's a microphone cable.
Thank you.
Have a good session.
Thank you ever so much. Okay. Okay, we're going to get started. Hello, hello. Hello, hello, hello. Good morning. Good morning. There's an awful lot of energy in the room. I'm very excited. Hello and welcome. My name is Leslie Copeland. I am your first-year coordinator. I am one of a team of people who is helping to coordinate the event today and to provide the support to you as new students here at McGill throughout the summer and throughout your full academic year. I belong in an... Am I too loud or is this good? Thumbs up or at the back? Okay. All right. Thank you. I work in an office called Campus Life and Engagement. Campus Life and Engagement is an all-encompassing, if you will, service that is here to help you in your transition. At this point,
We are, if you will, a first-year office, so to speak. So we are here to help you with your transition. Today is a day to help you get ready for the registration that's opening up after the weekend for you. And we want to try and address some of the concerns or questions that you might have today that will alleviate some of your anxieties, help you understand some of the terminology here McGill, so that it makes sense to you, that you have confidence when you're reading our website, that you understand the language, that you understand how it applies to you and how the system works here at McGill. I don't know your level of understanding of McGill at this point. I'm sure many of you have already been on the website, but I am going to be starting at a common level as if I'm teaching you right from scratch, if you will. So because we have a little bit of a late start this morning, I'm going to be going through some of the general things maybe a little faster. But we will be here throughout the day and over in the Brown Building where you registered. If you've got questions, different sessions will be happening today. After you have registered next week, some of you who are scholarship winners can register starting tomorrow. The rest of you start on Monday the 9th. Once you have registered, you can wait for 24 hours. If you happen to be back on campus, you can come down and get your ID card anytime throughout the summer. So that's something you would like to do to avoid the lineups in August. Go ahead and do it. One of the advantages of being a SAGEP student is that you have that pre-arrival access to some of the services because you're in town still. So that's something I wanted to share with you. And then ultimately, we are going to have the university-wide orientation day is in August, on the 26th of August, and we do want you to come back then for that day as well, because that's when you're going to get to meet the 6,000 students who are entering McGill this year as first-year undergraduate students. We also have a complement of about 2,500 new graduate students as well. So that's our incoming class size this year. So I'm just going to take a minute. Please pull out your packages and look at the schedule. I just want to spend a little bit of time so that you understand what's happening. It's not very dark, but okay. So your schedule, the column on the left, the schedule for all, is for all of you. Okay, I'm stating the obvious. What you have to watch in the afternoon is that some of you will follow one schedule and others a second, the B schedule. You do that by looking at the schedule A or B and finding your faculty, and that is the faculty that's the schedule for the afternoon that you will follow. So when you're finished here today, this in my room here, then you're going to your faculty orientations. You will see that at 11:15. There will be volunteers. If you're not staying in the Leacock building, this is the Leacock building. This is your largest classroom on campus. This has got a seating capacity of 612 students. So it might be a bit bigger, but you will be having classes in here. It might be bigger than you're used to in SAGEP, perhaps. Okay? But anyway, so your faculty orientations, those of you going to Bronfman FDA or the new music building, there will be volunteers just outside the Leacock building with signs where you can congregate, and then our volunteers in the red t-shirts will lead you to those buildings to help you find your way, and then the other rooms are just within the Leacock building. When you're finished your faculty orientation at 12:30, those of you who said you wanted lunch, you've got a ticket attached to your package, then you will go back to the Brown Building where we registered. That's where you'll be picking up your lunches. And then just watch. We've got a very short schedule. You've got 45-minute break for your lunch to get back to either this room, the FDA auditorium, or Leacock 26 at 1:15 for the Minerva how-to session. That session is going to demonstrate the Minerva system. If you know, you may have already been into it, but we're going to show you a little bit more in depth about how to register, show some of the shortcuts. You're going to be introduced to something called the Visual Schedule Builder. If you haven't already found that will help you develop maybe four or five different schedules to have in your back pocket for when registration opens. So you'll want to make sure that you're at one of these sessions this afternoon. And again, it's faculty specific because different faculties do different things on Minerva registration or get exposed to different features. So please look at the list of the faculties. So in the afternoon, arts, the art science students, education management, physical and occupational therapy students, science and social work, have, after the faculty orientation this morning, then there's an additional advising session where you can do a drop-in, a quick touch base with an advisor, and then if you're finished early, take advantage of one of the other two sessions that we have. The Getting Involved workshop is a new complement to today's schedule offered by one of my colleagues in Campus Life and Engagement to show you how to get involved at McGill and encourage you to explore those opportunities when you feel you're ready to do that here at McGill. And then the financial presentation is very helpful if you want information about the fees. There are fees that are optional, how to pay your fees, how to make it accessible to your mums and dads, if you want them to pay your fees, those kind of things. So that's a session that you can watch. If you miss either of those, though, they will be offered again during the orientation time, and some of it's online later on throughout the summer. So just, you know, watch that. And then the agriculture and environmental engineering, music and nursing students, because you are smaller in number, it's not that you're not going to have access to advisors, it's just those that can be handled in the faculty orientation session. Okay, so no one's going to miss out on anything today. If you know, we encourage you to take advantage of all the offerings. All right, let's get started. Okay, oh no, another thing. The important thing, the English placement test. Those of you who are Francophone students who are interested in taking advantage of the English courses that are available, there is an information sheet in your package. All right. So again, if you are one of the students who registered for this test, take it today because then you will know what section or class you can register for. And then you can complete your registration starting on the 9th. Otherwise, you have to wait to get that level in the fall when placement tests are offered later in the summer. Okay? So if you can stay for that, then at 3:15, the student volunteers will meet, again, the students wanting to take the placement test, just outside here again at Leacock, and they'll lead you to the language labs. Okay? All right. So today you're at the University 101. I'm going to talk quickly about how we work. I want to spend a little time in understanding your program structure. I want to get into the e-calendar. I don't know if you've been into this particular website, but I just want to show you a couple of tips to how to navigate, and then a couple of tips for registering for first-year classes, and then ultimately I'm just going to maybe anticipate needing to shorten my presentation. The orientation week is the last week of August, and that's when, the whole university is focused on you as incoming students, so that's the time to take advantage of the offerings and things that are happening during that time. Again, the returning students don't come back to campus until the Labor Day weekend, and once they're back, then the lineups get a whole lot longer, so you'll want to make sure you're taking advantage during the last week of August. Okay? So let's talk about our semesters and how the year is set up. So we work in a three-semester year. So we've got the fall. So you'll see that we're showing you when your exams will be and when the winter break will be. So you've got exams from the 18th to the 19th of December, and then from we come back to school on the 5th of January, okay? The winter semester is a January to April. It's a little bit shorter. I think in Sejup you go to the end of May, correct? So you've got another month of summer instead when you finish your first year. We do have a reading week in March. And again, we've provided you with the dates for your April exams. Do not plan to leave town on the December holidays before you know the final exam schedule. It will come up probably end of September, mid-October. The only thing I could recommend is that if you had a family trip, then you don't make any plans until the 20th of December to leave. If you had to make something earlier, because it's quite conceivable that you could be given an exam on the evening of the 19th. And a family trip or anything like that will not excuse you from final exams, okay? So just a heads up for making plans. And that's the same for April. And then we do have a summer semester. You will be able to consider taking summer classes if you want, but that doesn't mean you've given up your summer, because a summer class is completed within 1 month. So you do 3 months of work in the month of May, or the month of June, or the month of July. So that's an option that's available to you. So they're intensive. There are some exceptions about that management. Some of their courses can last up to six weeks in the summertime. Okay, so the school is made up of faculties, schools, and departments. All of you have been accepted into a faculty. All right? We've got 11 faculties in the university. Each faculty has a dean. And the faculties are divided into schools or departments. And so again, what you've been accepted to will be reflected in the letter that's on Minerva, your admissions letter. All right, so you might want to verify that. But we've got professional schools and departments. The professional schools, for example, the School of Architecture, the School of Environment, Nursing, they offer more intense concentration of study and lead to the professional degree or careers, if you will. And departments are devoted to specific areas of study, such as we've got philosophy or chemistry. All right, you're going to be doing a major or minor in these particular areas. So again, refer to your letter of acceptance if you're not sure which category you are accepted into, because we know that this is sometimes confusing, even in the registration forms that some of you completed when we asked what faculty you were in. Some of you were putting, the political science department, and that's the department, not the faculty. The faculty would be art. So it's just, this is what today is about, helping you understand the terminology and how things work. The schools and faculties, this is an incomplete list of some of the schools that exist here at the university, and we can have a situation where some schools can be affiliated with more than one faculty, or a faculty can have more than one school. So, for example, dietetics and nutrition is a school in the Faculty of Agricultural and Environmental Sciences. How many MAC students are here today? Anybody in the room? Welcome. The MAC campus students, we've got a wonderful campus out in Saint-Anne-de-Bellevue. It's absolutely beautiful, and we have a shuttle bus, and I encourage you all, if you haven't been out there, even as Montrealers, if you haven't gone out there, it's worth the trip. Our School of Environment, we've got affiliated with three faculties, the agricultural, the science, and the arts faculty, whereas architecture is a school belonging to engineering, nursing, and P&OT are schools in the Faculty of Medicine. Okay, degree programs versus professionals. So what I want to tell you about the degree programs simply is that they're more general in scope and will give you a little bit more flexibility in your course selection. The professional degrees, obviously, are affiliated with a professional order. They have a little less flexibility. The course selection will be predetermined for each year of your studies. And, for example, engineering is a faculty that actually has degree programs, but is also the Iron Ring affiliation with the professional order. So it's got its foot in both camps. Now, the studies or programs that you are looking at and being accepted to or considering choosing, depending on your faculty, majors, if you will, are the main focus of your study. It's where the largest number of credits are going to be focused for your study. Some of you may be in a position where you can do minors. And the minors, of course, have fewer credits and it's a secondary concentration. And those of you who might be thinking, there's many CEGEP students who certainly consider the honors programs in your fields of study. And this involves a much higher degree or a limitation, really, you're eliminating some of the elective courses, maybe, because you're increasing the number of courses that you're taking in a concentration, whether that would be political science or chemistry or one of the sciences, all right? And it usually, what happens, again, it depends on the faculty. So these are questions if you're going to take to your faculty orientation today, especially if you're considering, you know, the majors and minors in your honors program, because sometimes you prepare your classes this year as if you are going to be an honor student, but sometimes you actually have to finish your first and second semesters and get the required GPA to be actually accepted as an honors program student, all right? So this is something that I want you to know you need to ask about if it's something that you're considering for yourself. And again, yes, each of your faculty, check with them always about academic-related questions. So courses. We've got different types of courses, so I just want to go over that. So whether you're doing a major, minor, or honors, you're going to have required courses. And again, the list of required courses are courses that you're going to take over the 3 or 5 years, depending on what length of time you're here for your program. They must be taken. And if you can see there, the pass grade is a C. It's a 55%. All right, so that's what you have to be focusing on. We also have something called complementary courses. These also are required courses. But what's nice about the complementary courses is that you will have a list of courses that allows you to start to reflect your course selection based on your interests. So you will have different, and I'll go into this in a little bit more detail, but it's just you might have a list of 6 classes and you've got to choose 2 of them. So you have more flexibility, whereas the list of required courses, these are it. You've got to make sure you take them or you don't graduate with a complete degree, right? You've got to complete your degree. We also have electives. This, too, is a really nice option because for reflecting your interests. For those of you who are, say, in the sciences, again, if at all possible, look at something outside your field of study. Many faculties allow you to take courses outside of your faculty. Arts can take science courses, and science can take arts courses, again, as electives, and again, in consultation with your academic advisors. So explore that, because it lets you take something that's just really different from your regular course loads, okay? And electives require, as a pass, a 50% or a D. Okay, so take some of that pressure off yourself, Houston. All right. Now, we also have prerequisites. It's pretty self-evident, I think. Those are courses you have to take in some cases before you take one of the required courses. The e-calendar, the course descriptions will tell you that, but they must be taken before you can take the required course. And then co-requisites are courses that are complementary and are taken at the same time, that you need to take the same semester, Okay, so those are some of the things that you need to watch for when you're reading the course and putting your schedules together over the weekend in order to create your schedules. I want to talk a little bit about class size and give you a little bit of food for thought, obviously. Depends on your faculty, but many of you, certainly, either early science classes, the arts courses, there's an awful lot of the computer sciences. You'll be in this room. This is, like I say, 612 people. These will be your largest classes for in your first year. As you go out throughout your senior years, classes will become a little bit more small. And I want you to think about how you're going to relearn and how you're going to use your class time. This is a very important thing for you to be giving thought to over the summer. You've got, you know, 600 people around you in a class. A lot of distractions. Every one of you will have a laptop open. Every one of you might have that on a different screen, and it might not be related to the course at all. So how are you going to use that class time? How are you going to keep your focus? You'll find that the coursework, they start to move. You think it's the beginning of September. Well, the coursework, it gets pretty intense. So your class time is important. So please give this thought. Where do you sit? Are you going to, you know, how are you going to use the 3 hours or an hour and a half of class time? I also want you to be thinking about the first-year seminars. Not everyone can take these, but these are limited enrollment classes to only 25 people. And it's really great because then the professor actually has an opportunity to learn your name, and you have a much more intimate learning opportunity in the first-year seminars. They are offered by arts and science faculties. And again, if your faculty allows it, check with your advisors. Take one as an elective because it just gives you that opportunity to have more intimate learning sessions. The large classes, the other thing I wanted to say as well, because you're in a large class, many of them will break down into smaller learning groups, either conferences or tutorial sessions or labs. So that too will be addressed in the Minerva How-To, because sometimes you'll register for a conference or a lab and that automatically registers you into the large lecture, etc. But that'll be covered this after at the session after lunch. Okay? Teaching assistants for the large classes are also involved in the conferences, and so they're good to be able to refer to. Because of the resources that are available, your professors do have office hours. If your class schedule is in conflict with their hours, then write to them. Send them an email. They're very accommodating in meeting with you and want to meet with you. Like I said, the tutorial and conferences and teaching assistants also help the professors. These are grad students who help with the conferences, labs, and tutorials, and they too are available to you for questions and review if you've got problems with a class. Don't hesitate to use the resources. Don't please be shy or feel that you're imposing on people. That we want you to be successful. So please don't hesitate. Okay, so let's talk about the 90 degree credit program. Most of you are in that program, but not everyone. There's a few who might be in the education program, for example, has a larger number of credits, but I'm talking generally here just to understand, to explain the system. So you've been accepted into a 90 credit year or a program. The 90 credits get divided over 3 years of study. So you're looking to do 30 credits in a year. So if we have two semesters in a year, how many credits are you doing in a semester? You're looking to do 15 credits in a semester. So we've got a fall and winter, all right? And then ultimately then you're looking at, generally, classes, courses are worth 3 credits each. So if you're doing, five courses, 3 credits in the fall for your 15 credits, in the fall, and again for the winter. Okay? Now, course load. Generally, like I say, 3 credits for one course. If you're looking to, so there are full year courses, say language courses, you want to learn Spanish or Chinese, Mandarin, they are full year courses and they are worth 6 credits, okay? Now, as I say, some science classes are worth 4 credits because of the labs being affiliated, so a lab could be 1 credit more, so that's something to be aware of. The normal course load is 5 credits per term, 5 3-credit per, and full-time students, you, in order to maintain your full-time status, you can't drop below 12 credits, all right? So, and this is important, especially if any of you are have bursaries or scholarships or loans, in some of your insurance policies and coverages require that you prove that you're a full-time student, so don't let yourself drop below the 12 credits. Otherwise, you will be considered as a part-time student. And not that that isn't allowable in certain faculties, but you'd want to make that decision in consultation with a faculty advisor. You must be sure to register, though, for enough credits to satisfy your scholarship requirements. Now, when I talk about full-time and five courses or 4, what I want to tell you is that it is very possible for you to consider taking only 4 courses in your first semester, again, in consultation with your advisors. But especially if there's anyone in the room, any of our Francophone students who are studying in English for the first time, sometimes this is an option that you might want to consider. And even not, if English is not your second language, you might want to know that that option is available to you. But again, you've got to be careful what courses you're not taking in that fall semester. Register for 5 courses, even if you're thinking about only taking 4. Register for 5. You have until the end of the add drop session or period, which is the second Tuesday after classes start, to make that decision. And it's easier to drop a course rather than to add one at that particular point in time, okay? So think about the workload. It's possible, but you must be very careful. You don't want to be dropping prerequisites. You don't want to be dropping required courses unless you know it's available in the winter. Again, so please be, you know, I tell you about the opportunity, but I always say in consultation with your academic advisors, okay? I just want you to know about options. Okay, advising. Let me talk about them and the people that are here to help you with your academic choices and advice and whatnot. As I said, you've been accepted into a faculty. We have faculty-level advisors. These are the people that you're going to find in your faculty student affairs offices or faculty student advising offices. This is where you will find them. These are the people that you'll also be interacting with a little bit today, as well as departmental. This is a website where you can find the directory of advisors. So all of the McGill websites, www.mcgill.ca, students, then advising, and advisor directory. These are the faculty advisors are the big picture people. They are the ones that control your transcripts, if you will, the overall. I would suggest that you meet with these people at least once a year. You won't necessarily be assigned an individual advisor, but that doesn't mean that the advisor that you do meet with can't become your advisor for the full time that you're here. All right, just so that you know that. Okay? There's the advising support is here, absolutely. If you have academic difficulties, they're good to meet with. And also, they're the ones that you want to make sure you're on track with academically. We just celebrated our convocations this past week. And unfortunately, there were students who received letters from their faculties telling them they couldn't graduate because they were 3 credits short. And so that is something that these people can keep you on track with. You don't want to fall behind or be missing credits and think you're graduating and then get that message. Departmental and school advisors are the people that are more program specifically related to your academic work. So if you are, say, an art student taking political science as a major and economics as a minor, you will have, in fact, two departmental advisors to talk to about the majors and minors. All right, they help you plan those programs. Sometimes these are professional staff and sometimes they are professors. Again, it depends on where you are, or rather the programs you're in. But professors, regardless whether or not they're official academic advisors, they're very good to talk to with regard to informal advice about courses and recommending career paths, and they're just really interesting to talk to about their research and studies. And so if you open that door to let them talk about themselves, they'll accept the invitation. So get connected with your professors as soon as you can, especially in these large classes. Take advantage of the office hours to meet with them. Some faculties have student peer advisors. Again, arts and science, I believe, arts definitely, I believe science does still. So not in every faculty, but the peer advisors work with the faculty advisors and have more drop-in hours. Okay, these are websites, these are ones I want you to take down. Okay, so would you? These are important ones for you to be aware of. If you haven't been to some of these ones, these are the ones that will shortcut your path to finding information for new students. So again, the McGill, our first year in campus life, we have a website dedicated to new students, so the www.mcgillca, first year, one word. We've got it, checklists, before you arrive advice, McGill and Montreal essentials. Those of you, because so many of you are living off campus, we have an off-campus fellows program that it gets people living outside of the campus area together. This is another website. I'm going to take you into this one later. But this one, if you haven't been here, this is a very, very important one. Please make sure you visit it. It's the McGillca New Students. This website has everything from soup to nuts and checklists and the links to the program advising pages that you need. And I will show you that later. This last one is just the general students website, and it takes you everywhere. It has links to everything. One that's not on this page that I want you to know again, McGillca/engage. ENGAGE, the Engage website. When you're looking for volunteer and involvement opportunities, that's a website I definitely want you to be aware of. Okay. Okay, got to move along. Newly admitted students, you have been accepted as a U1 student. Again, depending on your program, you're in a 90 or 150 credit program. If you are not sure which category you fall into, you go to Minerva, you click on Student Menu, Registration Menu, and then check your registration eligibility and verify your curriculum. Okay? As CEGEF students, because your DEC gets transferred from the Ministry of Education, you might go in and see the actual number of 120 or 180. Those first 30 credits will be taken away once your DEC has been transferred into our admissions records, and then they upload it. So don't worry about it if you see that, I'm supposed to be doing 90 credits and I'm showing 120. Once the DEC, the Ministry of Education information is uploaded, it will automatically be reflected on your Minerva transcripts. Okay. Many of you might want your ID cards to have your preferred names on it. Some of you may be carrying family names, but you use something else, a nickname or something that is a shortened version. So if that's what you want to have on your ID card, then you can do that. And again, you would go to Minerva. You would select the personal menu and select a name change. This isn't the legal section, all right, your legal transcripts. This is just your personal preferred name for your ID card. Okay. We're going to get into the calendar in a minute, but again, course identifiers. You've been looking at up courses. This is obviously just a sample. The course numbers are four letters followed by numbers followed by the name. So the four letters actually tell you what department the course belongs to. So A, B, C, D, if it was chemistry, it would C-H-E-M, and that would be the course, that would be the department who owns the course. All right? The 1, 2, 3, or the 2, 4, 5, or the 3, 0, 6 tells you the level of the course. And, of course, the alphabet is the course name. Most of you, as SAGEP U1 students, you'll be looking to take 200 and 300 level courses this year. But the first year seminar, those of you who can take those, they will be 100 level and certainly worth doing. The course numbers also have a numbering system after them, D1, D2. Courses like a full year course, like a language course that you need to take both the fall and winter. The N1, N2 just means it's not taught in consecutive semesters, winter and, the following winter, something like that. The J1, 2, and 3, these tend to be more medicine courses, but again, that would actually be comprised of three semesters of work. Yes, be sure to read the descriptions of your courses carefully, because not all courses are taught every year, and some of them are only taught in alternative years. So this is very important for you to be aware of as you're reading the descriptions and choosing the courses that you want. You'll go to register for it and won't find it because it's not being offered this year but next. Okay, so this is the e-calendar. Those of you in the health sciences, please note that you have, this is a website you should, if you haven't been here, this is a website I want you to take down. All right, this is where you find the e-calendar. This used to be a book printed, it was quite thick. They stopped producing it in print a number of years ago. And the health sciences, you'll notice that you have a version for the health science calendar. Okay, so a different calendar for those of you in the health sciences. Okay. This is also, you can see here that the calendar is in a PDF format. You might want to take advantage of this and go to the faculty and your program or major and print out those pages so that you can actually highlight the required courses, highlight some of the complementary courses. It's just sometimes nice to have that in front of you instead of having to go back to the web. So I just want you to know that that's available to you. So I'm just going to go into the e-calendar for a second because I want you to know how to navigate it. So now I'm in the e-calendar on the internet. So I want you to, you would go to the, all right, if you want to follow me, I'll do it quickly, but, so you click on the faculties and schools, and you will pick on your faculty. I'm going to go into the Faculty of Arts for a second just to show you. I'm going to go into the Faculty of Science. Whoops. Then you go into the undergraduate section. And then I want you to go to the section that's important for you, overview of programs offered. This will be these menu steps are relevant to all of you regardless of your faculty. You pick your faculty, you go to the undergraduate section, and then you go to the programs of or overview of programs offered. And then you'll see that we have minor programs and majors, etc. So I'm going to go into the majors and minors just for a second. And you'll see that the major concentrations are listed. All of the different departments in science that show that they have these available. The different departments that belong to the faculty that have a major concentration. So in, let's go to economics. I want to show you just a little bit here. So you see, here's the course number, ECON Economics. It's a 200-level course. It has the D1 that I talked about. It's a full-year course because D2 is right underneath it. So the D1 you're taking in the fall, the D2 you're taking in in the winter. When you click on the course, then it opens up, and you can see here when it's offered. It's a fall course, 2014. And this is where this helps you chart out the courses that you need to take in your required courses. It gives you a short description about the course. It tells you who the instructor is. And it depends on whether or not you won't get credit until you take both parts. If it needs a prerequisite, you'll find it here. It'll tell you what the prerequisite course is. Okay? So again, that you go to the top, the faculties, you find yourself, you click on that faculty, and then you pick on the undergraduate program, and then go into the overview of programs offered. Okay? This is, I hope, helpful for you. Okay. I'm going to go back to the presentation. Okay. I want to introduce you. Whoops. Okay. We've done the Ying calendar. I'm going to introduce you to a fellow student named Stu. His full name is Student. Thank you. Thank you. Like you, he's been newly admitted as a student from CEGEP. He's been admitted into the Faculty of Arts and Selfies, and he's going to be doing a minor in Netflix binge watching. Needless to say, this is all fictitious. We're just trying to lighten it up a little bit right now, okay? He's got a new 90 credits to get his degree. His major is arts, or rather, no, it should be, his major is in social media. We didn't get that change, and his minor is Netflix. So, his major in social media, required courses. Right, we're thinking about 90 credits over a year, so the required courses are going to use up 24 in this particular program. He's going to have to take all of these courses over 3 years. Required, right? It's not all this semester. It's over 3 years. He is going to have to take complementary courses, 18 credits of them. All right. So he's got to take 6 credits from selfies and personal documentation. He's got to take 6 from personal writing. So you see, he's got 4 to choose. You know, two credits or 6 credits is 2 courses. And so again, it's more selection for you to choose from personal interest, and then hashtagging. Okay. All right. Thank you. The people who did that in my office, the team will be very happy at your response. The Netflix minor is 21 credits. Okay. So now I need you to be thinking. Let's do the math. How many credits was he going to do for his major? 42. All right. It's the addition of the required and the complementary. Right? The minor in Netflix, 21. All right, so now we're at 63 credits of the 90 that are going to be taken over 3 years, right? This is spread out over 3 years to do the 90. So my question for you is, what type of courses will you be taking up to make the balance? Electives. Great. And now, how many elective credits do you need to complete? Hey, louder. So we've got 90 credits that you're taking over 3 years, 63 from your major and minor, and so 27 credits. Okay, where are my math majors here? Okay? All right, so it gives you that, how it breaks down over 3 years. Now, say this program is a professional degree. The P&OT students, nursing students, all right? This is where you'd be thinking about. You would have less selection, if you will. You'll actually be told in the fall what courses you will take, and you'll have 2 complementaries, so you'll have some flexibility there. In the winter, you'll be told the courses that you need to take, and you'll have the opportunity perhaps to add an elective. Again, this is just a sample, but it's just to show you the difference between the degree and the professional degree programs. Okay. Scholarship winners can register starting tomorrow. CEGEP students, the 9th. This website also, I told you the new student website, that will also tell you other registration dates throughout the rest of your academic career. Minerva opens at 8 a.m. our time, all right, so you can get logged on. It's going to be busy. You're not going to get through. 6,000 undergraduate students. No, that's not true, because you're logging in on the 9th. It's the CEGEP students. So we've got 1,600 students in competition for the lines on Minerva, if you will. So it might be difficult. Don't worry. All right? Keep trying. Refresh. Refresh, refresh, refresh. That's the trick. All right? You must register for one class before August 14th to avoid paying a late registration fee. So, you know, got lots of time to do this, all right? What to register for? This website, the new students' website. I'm going to show you this one. This is an important one. It will help you get to the information your faculty wants you to be at as new students. All right? So give me a second, and I'll just open it up, and I'll show it to you so that you know what you're looking at. So this is the new students one. Okay. Oh, sorry. All right. All of this has got important information on it. This weekend, please spend some time here. Have I got your attention, folks? Okay, so we're not distracting anybody beside you. This link here. Program Advising and Course Registration. You click on this one, you'll see your faculty here. This is the important information. As an art student, just because it's at the top of the list, it gives you the contact. You'll see that there's a phone number that you as new students should be using. All right? You'll see that there's an actual email address that they want new students to use. And they'll provide you with a website. Now, the U0 students, those are for students from out of province, international students who are doing more credits over, they're here for longer than you are, obviously. So you just scroll down the page until you find U1 students. This is you. This is the information your faculty wants you to read. This is the faculty that informs you about other websites that they want you now to go to. This is where you start. All right? So hopefully this will save you some time. It will give you information about course advising, dates, etc., or the websites that will come live throughout the summer, course change, etc. Okay? Okay. Okay, workload. This is, again, food for thought that I need you to think about this summer. Think about, as I'm talking now, about the kind of time you gave to your work in CEGEP. Okay? A 3-credit course is going to put you in class time for 3 hours a week. All right? The recommended time outside of class per topic, if you're per class, is 6 hours. Now, that's going to be dependent upon your comfort and familiarity with the topic, obviously. It could be 3 hours of outside time. It could be 4. It could be more, depending on your level of comprehension and level of difficulty. But the point I want to make with you, all right, please listen at this. If you're taking 5 courses in a semester, and you're in class for 3 hours and studying 9 hours outside, that or 6 hours, that's 9 hours times 5 classes. That's a full-time job of 45 hours a week. Please be conscious of that. This is an important time management tip. You need to think about the time that you spend at CEGEP on your work. And again, it's not to scare you. I want you to think about it. It's something you need to be giving thought to. Again, how are you using your class time? It's got you, You want to be alert. You want to be rested. You want to be making sure that that 3 hours is well used, plus the outside time. You're talking full-time job being a university student, okay? Registration advice, ad drop, nothing you do between next week and I think it's the 16th of September can't be fixed. Ad drop, your schedule must be finalized by the 16th of September. So don't worry about registering for the wrong class or something. There's lots of time to make those changes, all right? Travel time between classes, you've got 10 minutes. Classes start at 5:02, end at 5 after, start at 25 after, and end start at 25:02, depending on the days. Many classes only offered one in one semester per year, not all year. Placement tests offered at the end of during the orientation week. Satisfactory, unsatisfactory. This is an option I want you to be aware of. It can be applied only to electives. And I'm going to go to my source here just to make sure. Okay. If you pass the course, you'll get an S. If you fail, you get a U. You get the credits if you pass, but it won't count towards your GPA. It is just to give you an opportunity to have an ungraded class as you make the transition to a university workload. You must decide to use this option within the ad drop period, by the 16th of September. So if you're going to use this option on an elective, and again, you're doing this in consultation with an advisor, it's a nice comfort zone sometimes. But often, you get your first midterm on that elective, and because the elective is a course you've chosen because you want to, it's something that you just, you know, the art history or whatever it might be, you end up doing so much better in an elective, and now you want it to count towards your GPA because it'll be a booster. So use this option wisely, but know that you've got to make the decision by the end of the ad drop period. Okay? And not all faculties let you use it. So again, the caveat is always check with your faculty advisors. Okay, over the weekend, this afternoon at the Minerva How To, you're going to be shown the visual schedule builder. You want to have more than one schedule. You want to put a schedule together for both the fall and winter, absolutely, because you'll want to maybe make 4 different schedules in your back pocket, because if something is full, you want to be able to try a different option, okay? So, and you do want to register for fall and winter, but again, your winter courses will have an ad drop period in January, but when you're meeting with your advisors during orientation week, if they're looking at what you've got registered for fall and winter, they can tell you whether you're on track with your program requirements, okay? So the class is full, it may have a wait list. You can take summer courses. The ad drop period is when many courses become available. You guys sit on courses, you protect them, and then all of a sudden you free it up because your schedule's getting full, or you finalized it, and now 6,000 courses become available. And all of the ones that you've been stressing over, they're free, okay? So there's a lot of happening. You'll be anxious. Departments won't make space until it's closer to the end of ad drop. Change is possible. Many of you might be thinking about inter-faculty transfers. It is possible, but it's not necessarily easy. If you're in arts thinking that you're going to get into management next year, that's not necessarily going to be the case. But you do have to find out from management what the requirements are so that you can be working toward that GPA-wise this semester and next in a different faculty. So explore your options. Plan ahead. We've got lots of resources. Getting involved. We've got a workshop this afternoon if you can get to it. There's the Engage website I was telling you about. And, okay, we're not too bad. So the last week of August is our orientation week. Discover McGill is on the 26th of August, and we'll have a great day. I order something like 1,200 pizzas that day, so come and get a couple slices, you know? Absolutely, it's quite a fun day. And you'll be with your whole incoming class. So this is kind of a breakdown of the schedule of the One thing. Watch the email address that you used to apply to McGill. That's the email we use to correspond with you, because I know you've got a McGill email, but not everybody's activated it. Well, you haven't registered, so you may not have been able to use it yet, all right? So your McGill or your preferred email address, the one you use to apply to McGill. We, Campus Life and Engagement, will write to you about orientation information and whatnot, so please watch your emails. Check the junk box, because until you acknowledge us as correspondents, sometimes you might miss a message because we're there. All right? Campus Life and Engagement, your go-to office. If you don't know where to go, come to Campus Life and Engagement. Have a great day. I'm excited for you. Have a great year. God bless. Okay. Everybody clear on where we're going? I'll put the schedule up. Leacock 14 and 15 is downstairs in the basement. One eleven and 112 are on this floor. 232 is immediately upstairs in Leacock. Yeah, management students and art students, please meet outside and our volunteers will take you to your next session for your faculty orientation. Music, management, and art students, meet outside and we'll lead you to your next session. Okay? I love the energy.
Okay, can everybody have a seat, please? Si vous pouvez vous asseoir, s'il vous plaît. All right. First, I'd like to welcome you all to McGill and to the Faculty of Science Orientation Session. Je vous souhaite tous la bienvenue à l'Université McGill et à la session d'orientation pour la Faculté des sciences, y inclut les étudiants enregistrés dans le bac en arts et sciences. So, just to remind you, that includes students registered in the BSc as well as the BA and SC. If you're registered in any other degree, you're probably in the wrong room. But if you're registered in one of those two degrees, you're in the right place. Je vais faire ma présentation en anglais. Le faire dans les deux langues, ça prendrait bien trop longtemps. Mais je vous encourage de me demander des questions n'importe quand. Et vous pouvez certainement les demander en français s'il y a quelque chose que vous avez manqué ou si je parle trop vite ou n'importe quoi. OK. So, what I want to do today is start broad and then get down to some specifics for you, just to give you some idea of what to expect and what's going on here at McGill. Okay, so first, that's me. My name is Nicole Allard. I'm the Director of Advising Services for the Faculty of Science, and we advise all the undergrads in both the BSc and the Bachelor of Arts in Science. Wait a minute, this is going to make noise. Better. All right. So I want to start with giving you a brief thing of really just telling you the names of some of the online tools available to you. I know you have a Minerva how-to session later, so I'm not getting into details. I just want you to know what exists. So we have this thing called Minerva. For the life of me, I cannot remember what the initials stand for. I'm pretty sure the M is McGill. I don't know what the rest is. I knew once. It's gone. This is sort of your online interface between most things McGill and you. We use it to register for courses. You used it to apply. You're going to use it for a lot of things. There's a helpline if you're having trouble. That's the phone number. And, yeah, that's kind of it. You'll get to know Minerva very well over the next 3 years. There's also something called Visual Schedule Builder, okay? So you use Minerva to actually register for your courses, to make sure you're in them. But you can use this VSB thing to help you build a schedule that works without conflicts. It's quite well designed. You go in, you pick the courses you want, it plunks in. It actually gives you a variety of possible schedule choices. So it lets you know how things are going to look. But remember, at the end of the day, you still have to go into Minerva and actually register for the classes. Otherwise, you're not really that much further ahead. But it is a good tool. If I remember right, I think it was designed by alumni, wasn't it? Oops. Okay, alumni of both Concordia and McGill. So it was actually designed by students. So they know what you're looking for. It isn't one of these, you know, wonderful things we think works great and doesn't do you any good at all. I think you'll actually find it quite helpful. And again, here's the link to it, but if you just put Visual Schedule Builder in the Google for McGill, you'll find the link. Okay? By the way, I am going to post this presentation on our SUSE website. SUSE is the Science Office for Undergraduate Student Advising. So, you know, you don't need to be madly writing things down. Everything will be there for you as of tomorrow. Okay? All right. The McGill email account. This is just to remind you that once you register for courses, you have a McGill email account. And we use that for all of our communication with you. We will no longer be sending you emails to whatever other account you have. So it's really important to check this email account now and then because, you know, we might send you something important about deadlines or whatever and, you know, sort of saying, ooh, I don't check my McGill email. Well, that's too bad. So make sure you either check it regularly or you can have it forwarded to whatever email you normally use. And again, the service desk can help you with that. So make sure you do activate your McGill email and, you know, make sure you check it. Because that's what we'll use to communicate with you as well. My courses. My courses is the, interface. course interface, online interface for courses. So your course web pages, everything you need is on there. Those of you from different CEGEPs, you might be familiar with First Class or WebCT. It's similar to that kind of thing. So you, in science, we pretty much use My Courses for all the courses. So you're going to have a My Courses page for every individual course you're in. Okay? I never know what picture to put on here, so, you know, I took this from the library webpage. This is just to remind you that we have libraries. You know, I mean, my slides are there to remind me what I have to say, right? Sometimes I have useful stuff written on them, sometimes not. So, yes, we have libraries. Now, most stuff is online, and that's great, but the librarians are really helpful for other stuff, too. They run workshops on how to find information easily and quickly, how to use all the online databases, even how to cite things properly, stuff like that. So I do recommend that you get on the website and look at the different workshops they have for you, because what it can do is, if you really know how to use this stuff, it can save you an enormous amount of time when you're trying to write papers or research stuff, if you really know where to look and how to get your hands on it quickly. Okay? And again, they have a website. Miguel ID cards. Let us not forget to get an ID card, because you're going to need it in the long run to write your exams, access the gym, use any other services. We're always asking you for your ID card. And it's handy at first, because the other thing we're always asking you is your Miguel ID number. And it'll probably take you about a week to know it by heart, because you're going to be rattling it off to everybody. But until then, it's good to have an ID card to check. You can get them at Service Point, and that's down on the corner of McTavish and Sherbrooke. And they're going to be available as of June 9th. Because you have to register for a course before you can get your ID card. Because, like, we need to know you're really a McGill student. Okay? And, yes, they do take a picture. So, you know, get spiffied up. That picture stays with you for the next 3 years. I say that because you should see mine. Not good. And I work here, so it stayed with me for 20 years, and it's still not good.